The threat of more tariffs from Washington, is it a trade war yet? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. A tariff mania timeline first. It kicked off in January with US tariffs on Chinese solar panels and washing machines. Next, we had those steel and aluminum tariffs. China hit back. Then the US set duties on $50 billion worth of Chinese imports. In May, all this was put on hold as the two sides talked. Then, last week, the president confirmed those tariffs on $50 billion worth of goods would go ahead. And yesterday, he said he wants tariffs on a further $200 billion worth of Chinese goods. So, is it a trade war? The BBC's economics correspondent is Andrew Walker.
I wouldn't say we're at the stage yet of a trade war, but what is already a pretty difficult, unpleasant skirmish is beginning to shape up into the very real possibility of something that, with hindsight, we would call a trade war.
Tariffs on $250 billion worth of goods, if they happen, that doesn't affect just China and the US.
Well, the most immediate effect is on China and the US, but yes, there are undoubtedly more widespread effects. Bear in mind that many of the Chinese exports that would be affected are actually made by foreign businesses that are operating in China. We have increasingly complicated international cross-border supply chains. If this were to get large enough in scale to do damage to these two giant economies, that would then affect their value as an export market trade partner for third countries again.
China's likely to retaliate. What are their options?
Taking more of this kind of action by imposing tariffs on US goods, although bear in mind, there's a limit. China will run out of American goods to impose tariffs on sooner than the other way round because of this deficit in trade the US has with China. It sells less to China than it buys from China. China does have other options, though. It can start doing things to make life more difficult for American businesses operating there. There's also various options in relation to American services. Services are not subject to tariffs, but there are all sorts of other trade barriers, regulatory trade barriers. It could disrupt American technology companies even more than it has been doing already. It could try and make life more difficult for Hollywood trying to sell products in China.
Andrew Walker. Now, ZTE, a Chinese mobile phone company with US parts, has been a casualty of those worsening relations. Its Hong Kong-listed shares plunged more than 20% to a two-year low today. The BBC's Victoria Craig has more.
An amendment in the Senate's annual defense bill has put lawmakers at odds with the president. In an 85-10 vote, the Republican-led chamber included a provision to block the White House's agreement with the Chinese telecom maker from allowing it to resume business with U.S. suppliers. In April, ZTE was banned for 7 years from importing U.S. parts for its devices after failing to punish executives for violations of North Korean and Iranian sanctions. President Trump helped broker a deal last week, and ZTE agreed to pay $1 billion in fines and nominate new board members. But some senators remain opposed to the president's actions, citing national security concerns. In a tweet, Senator Mark Warner, vice chair of the Select Committee on Intelligence, said, quote, "If the president won't act on warnings from his own top intelligence officials about the dangers posed by ZTE, we will." Before the Senate's defense bill becomes law, it will need to be reconciled with one previously passed by the House that does not include the amendment. The bill will also need to head to the president's desk for final approval. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Trade war fears are hitting global markets. European and Asian shares are solidly lower. The yuan hit its lowest level against the dollar in 5 months. In Europe and North America, online retail sales grew by 14% last year. But growing in tandem are fake reviews for products. Uba Butler is a British reporter for Vice. Recently, he created a fake London restaurant with just a name and address, a phone number and website. He got people to post fake reviews about the shed, and it got to number one on TripAdvisor out of 18,000 restaurants, at which point he opened for one night.
We had 8 real customers, but about 16 people on top of that were actors who were loudly proclaiming how delicious everything was. we're treading the boards between reality and online. My shed's horrible. If I can turn that into London's best rated restaurant, then anything is possible. Online is now informing what is going on in the real world. This is what the experiment proved. People ate ready meals, and because it said it was great on TripAdvisor, they thought it was great.
Now, Ming Ui runs FakeSpot, a company that uses algorithms to find unreliable reviews. So how does that work?
The engine runs a lot of natural language processing, correlation analysis. So, for example, if this particular product review, the way the sentences are or the way it's been written, is it a cut and paste job? Has it shown up somewhere else? So if, let's say, there's somebody put in, I love this product, my wife loves it too, and so do my children. Because we have over 1.6 billion reviews in our system that we can check against, if it shows up anywhere else exactly that way, it gets flagged. We don't just flag negative reviews, we flag all reviews that are suspicious.
So does that mean fake reviews are actually removed?
The policy varies from company to company. I think because Yelp has far less reviews, it's likely easier. You do have Amazon removing reviews on a mass scale on a regular basis. And we do have sellers approaching us asking for assistance in providing evidence to Amazon that these reviews are fake and they would like them removed and somehow they got there or somebody planted it there, for example.
Ming Ui, a fake spot. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.